The word veil comes up, I think, a ton in the readings that we heard this morning. The word veil. And I think there is a reason why that is. In each of those readings that you heard or read, something is veiled or kept hidden for a period of time. But I think, like secrets, things that are veiled or kept hidden are really meant to be revealed at one point. A veil only covers something until the time is right. Now, if you're anything like me, which you're probably not, but you're probably a little, when you see or hear the word veil, what's the first thing you think of when you hear the word veil?
Wedding.
A wedding. Like that girl. Veils covering a woman's hair and face became symbolic of a reference to the purity or the virginity of a bride on her wedding day. Traditionally, a bride is kept hidden from her groom up until their vows, when, as the hopefully beautiful bride-to-be, walks down the aisle and she takes off her veil. Now, in ancient Judaism, the lifting of the veil took place just prior to the consummation of the marriage. It was on the wedding night. The uncovering or unveiling that takes place in the wedding ceremony is then a symbol of what would happen in the marriage bed. Just as the two become one through their words spoken in the wedding vows, so these words are a sign of the physical oneness that they will once enjoy. Now, in our readings, you also heard of a reference to Moses, that Old Testament prophet who got the Ten Commandments, who parted the Red Sea. Moses was veiled. He wore a veil in our Old Testament reading. But it's a little bit different, kind of like that. We are told in the book of Exodus that when Moses finished speaking with the Israelites, he put a veil over his face. Because the Israelites, because they're sinful people, they were terrified to see God's glory reflecting on Moses' face. You see, Moses was the only person in the Bible at the time who got to talk to God face to face and yet be alive. Because they believed if you saw God, you would die right on the spot. You couldn't handle it. But yet Moses got to talk to God face to face. Now, unfortunately, many translations of the Bible convey the idea that the purpose of a veil on Moses' face was to hide God's glory, right? The fact of the matter was that Israel did get to see God's glory on Moses' face. But Moses put the veil on his face because people were afraid, yes, but as St. Paul writes in our lessons for today, it was really to keep the Israelites from gazing on God's glory while the radiance was fading away. See, St. Paul was saying that the veil wasn't just to hide God, it was to hide God's glory fading from Moses' face so that they couldn't see God's glory fading. You see, Moses' face shone with the glory of God only because of the times that he got to see God and talk to God. Whenever Moses went on his own, he would be regular, plain old Moses, nothing special. But yet, he wanted his followers, the Israelites, to know that God would always still continue to shine. So that's why he would wear that veil. St. Paul, in that epistle reading then, continues with the illustration of a veil like this. This time, though, the veil is something that covers the heart, not the face. By faith, we know that only in Jesus, the veil, the covering of our sinfulness, it's taken away. It's uplifted. By faith, we know that. And that brings us to our gospel reading then that we heard. We hear today about the Transfiguration. Now, most of you might have heard of this event before. But I'm guessing most of us really fully haven't understood the point of what was going on. So I'll help you. The Transfiguration, where Jesus invited Peter, the disciples, James, and John. He invited them to a secluded place on a high mountain. When they arrived, Jesus totally changed his appearance. His clothing became radiant white, intensely white, So much so that nobody on earth could even bleach a piece of cloth that white. Now, when this happened, Moses and Elijah themselves showed up out of the blue clear sky right next to Jesus. Moses, the representative of God's law from the Old Testament. Then Elijah, one of the great prophets who brought Israel back to God when they had all these terrible kings. And yet, all three of the disciples could see them right there. They recognized Elijah. Elijah, the guy who lived and died 900 years before they had even lived. They recognized him. And they had recognized Moses, the Old Testament prophet, who lived and died 1,500 years before these guys. They recognized them. Now, as a side note, think of what that might tell you and I about heaven when we see, hopefully, our loved ones. We'll be able to recognize people. I think that's kind of a cool thing. Now, the presence of these two guys, the prophets, Moses and Elijah, them being there assured the disciples that God's purpose was being fulfilled. Things were getting done. This was a special moment. Because in the Old Testament, when Moses returned from the presence of God, his face was radiant. But in this case, it was a fleeting reflection of God's glory. In Jesus' case, the radiance that he was dazzling white, it's not coming from his face, it's coming from within. They get to see that, they get to see God face to face, just like Moses did, without a veil. With Christ, along with the disciples, today, you and I get to see God face to face. And that's not something to be taken lightly. Not at all. I think that's a privilege because our sinfulness, our natural inclination to sin and disobey and run away from God, that's something that really separates us from God's glory and presence. Frankly, I think you and I deserve nothing but desertion from God and the excruciating pain of hell for eternity for what we contribute to God. Now, think of the worst pain that you might have ever felt in your life. Every emotional pain. Every physical scar. Now, multiply that over and over. That's what we deserve because of ourselves. We don't even deserve the privilege of God or to look at his face or say his name. We deserve God to turn his back on us like he turns away from sinners. Like we turn our backs on God. Every single time we put ourselves over God in our lives, he should turn his back on us. Every single time we swear, we curse. Every single time we neglect the Bible. Every single time we disrespect or hurt one another. God should turn away from us. Every time we lust over somebody, or we steal, or we spread rumors, or we have greed over other people's things. God should abandon us. We don't deserve anything good. But God doesn't abandon us. God doesn't love us because of who we are. Thank God for that. God loves us despite sometimes who we are, despite every single thing that we've ever done wrong or ever will do wrong. God loves us. God loves you not because of anything that you do or anything about you, but God loves you because of who he is, you see. And you are a creation of his, and that's why God loves you. And I think that's better than any Valentine we could have got a few weeks ago. Thank God that he doesn't turn his face from us, because God the Father abandoned his son Jesus on the cross already for us. Because God cared enough to send Jesus, you are good enough. That's what it means to have faith in Jesus, because he is capable of giving to God, because he is God, anything that we can't. We get to look to God face to face. We get to talk to God in prayer face to face, knowing that he answers prayer. And when he sees us, he doesn't see the bad in our hearts. He sees only the face of Jesus when he looks at you. That's what it means to be in Christ. That's what it means to be baptized into Christ. If we come with anything away today, it's that the veil separating us from God, it's been lifted. But more than that, it's been torn. Get that. The veil has been torn, and it comes at a cost. It comes at Jesus' holy life. You see, when Jesus was murdered, really, on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus yielded up his spirit, and the curtain of the temple, the veil of the temple, was torn in two from top to bottom. Kind of like that, if you can see it. Now, in the Old Testament, a veil actually separated where priests met the altar of God, the Holy of Holies. If you've ever seen, like, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's the place where the Ark of the Covenant rested, the Holy of Holies. It was separated from everybody. And only the high priest could enter one day out of the whole year in this place, the Holy of Holies. And this temple curtain was 60 feet high, and it was 30 feet wide, and it was 4 inches thick. This was a big, big veil. And Jesus tore it with his arms stretched wide as he hung on the cross. And as the veil, this veil, was torn, the Holy of Holies was exposed. God's presence was now accessible to everybody. God's face was now open to all people to see through Christ. Notice that the veil was ripped from top to bottom because it was from God to us. Christ, the object of our faith, fulfills the glory of the Old Testament and never stops shining on us, despite the times when we feel faded. That's what Jesus and his moment of transfiguration gives us a preview of. Jesus had already showed throughout the New Testament all his divine powers of healing, of raising the dead, the miracles over nature, of feeding millions of people, probably, with nothing. And yet this moment, this transfiguration on the mountain, would reveal finally his divine nature. This Jesus, this man, is 100% God. Now, today, as we, in 2017, hear, as we hear the word of God and receive him under this bread and wine temporarily veiled for us, Jesus continues to enter our personal history today. With judgment, yes, but with also with grace and glory and forgiveness. We can leave today feeling forgiven. You can leave today feeling forgiven because you actually are. Soon, this week, we'll be beginning to plunge into the season called Lent. For some people, it's a dark time. It's a repentant time. But it doesn't have to be. We already know the end of the story. We know Easter is coming. But yet it's a time that will help us shape us, to set us back on track, to realize that we really do need God. And I think this moment, this transfiguration moment of Jesus' life, it does a nice job of preparing us for Lent. It points us toward where we see salvation. It points us toward Jesus willingly going to the cross, so that you can be dazzling bright, so that you can shine. Because of what Jesus did for you on the cross, we, the church, as members, not only here in Lake Mills, but across the whole world, across through generations past and present, because of what Jesus did for us, you are the bride of Christ. You are the church. You see, the church isn't a building. It's the whole world. It's the bride of Christ. And since Jesus has already lifted the veil of sin, we are transformed right now. We are transfigured right now. What I see, you aren't sinful people that deserve punishment. What I see are forgiven people that get to receive love and forgiveness and life. You are the beautiful bride of Christ, transfigured, a worthy people, and a bride that Jesus can be proud of. As we enter Lent these next 40 days, my prayer for you is to keep your heads up and to look to God with the privilege of looking to God face to face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.